Thank you, Father. Father God, we thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here tonight and watching us online. And we thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. We thank you, Father, tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word will not return void. But, Father God, that your word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all that we'll take forth the word that we hear and go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you we come not in our own strength, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up, Father. And Father God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But most of all, Father, we thank you for your anointing that's here tonight. We just stir that anointing up, and we thank you, Father, that that anointing will saturate us and change us in an instant, Father. Father God, we thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world, and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, for many of you that maybe don't know, he did 3-day, well, they did, I should say they, Pastor and my mom, they did a 3-day crusade in Longview, Texas, just got back last evening. And so, of course, he had to speak Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. Then he spoke Sunday morning here at the church. And then he speaks on Friday at the student revival here to the Rhema students. And so he asked me to go ahead and minister tonight. And he's taking the night off. And that's okay. He can do that. You know, he just turned 80. So if he wants to do, of course, I don't care whether he's 80 or not. If he wants to do something, he can do whatever he wants to do. That's his prerogative. So so he'd ask if I would minister today. So, you know, I'm here. Amen. Amen. You know, today I just was been, you know, of course, obviously I wasn't really 100%, you know, prepared for with the message tonight. And I am just kind of just thinking about different things I might want to talk about and things. But, you know, really, as you watch the news, you watch TV, I couldn't get 9/11 out of my mind. You know, and I just want to talk about some ways that we have changed since 9/11 and the way maybe sometimes we should change some things back. Because 9/11 obviously was a great tragedy for our nation. You know, almost 3,000 people died. And for you younger folks, I encourage you to find out what happened that day. Find out, you know, history, because it seems any more young people don't care about history anymore. And but it's we need to understand what happened that day, and it was very tragic, very unexpected, and it really changed our world. I mean, you know, most of you, or I'm sure all of you, know what you were doing, where you were, whenever the news struck. You know, I was actually at home packing my suitcase, getting ready to board an airplane, and I just kept packing. It didn't ever hit me that they're going to cancel all flights, you know. I mean, I'll keep packing and keep packing, keep walking, seeing the TV and keep packing because I never thought, hey, you can't fly to Miami today because they're closing all the airports. But, you know, I guess they did. So I didn't make it to Miami for a couple of months later. You know, like I said, 3,000 people perished. But, I mean, a lot of things, actually more than 3,000 people perished. Because you realize the number of men and women soldiers that have perished since then fighting the war on terrorism overseas in Afghanistan and Iraq and other places, I mean, you know, that have given their life. And, you know, but in some ways, I wish the world would go back like it was September the 12th, 2001. And I can tell you where I was September 12th, 2001. I was right here in this auditorium. And I want to tell you that day is the only Wednesday night I believe that we have ever opened the balcony. And it wasn't just one section. I think we opened a couple sections in the balcony because people came together. They came together. They came together to honor God. And you know, maybe some people were scared. Some people didn't know what to think. But you know, but they were here.
You know, and it shouldn't take a tragedy like 9/11 or any other tragedy for people to come together among, you know, to God. People should be running to God. You know, what also is kind of tragic, in 18 years, it seems, you know, after 9/11, it seems that we were one nation under God. You know, we were undivided. We were together, you know, as a nation, together under the flag, together, you know, honoring God. And it seemed the last 18 years, I mean, I don't know where everyone's gone. Now, I'm still here in the same church. But obviously, there's not as many people here as there was September the 12th, 2001, Wednesday night. You know, because it seems that after a few years, few months, few days, people kind of forget about what happened. Now, it's pretty hard to forget about 9/11, because you realize 9/11 has changed the way we do security, changed the way, obviously, if you ever go to an airport, I mean, if you've gone to airports before 9/11 and since 9/11, obviously, because it's been 18 years, if I'm sure most of you have traveled within 18 years, have gone to airports. I get the privilege to go to many airports. And one thing you have to do now at the airport is do the airport dance. I mean, you have to take this off, take that off, you know, scan here, scan there, you know, got the whole body scans here, and, you know, do all the stuff. And then, you know, they check your bag and, you know, check it twice. They're like Santa Claus, you know, check it once, check it twice, want to find out if you're naughty or nice. And, you know, it's, and I tell you what, if you go to London, it's even worse. I don't know if anyone goes to airport security in London. I mean, they actually, the guy who had checked my bag twice, because I carry this backpack that has everything under the sun in the thing, and, you know, scanning it wasn't good enough. I mean, the guy's over here looking, trying to figure out everything. So they threw it aside, you know, and for this guy in London to look at my bag, and the lady in front of me is griping about everything, you know, I've traveled all kinds of airports, and I was able to bring this and bring that. And said, "Well, ma'am, we've told you to take this out. So the guy get to me, and I'm like, "I'm sorry, sir." I said, "I don't care. You know, I want to be safe." And then he's making fun of me because he said, "Well, you know, we believe in London that we're more precautious or whatever." But, you know, that all happened because of 9/11. All those things happened. You know, and it forever changed our life. But I think somehow, some way, we need to get back on our knees and figure out a way to get us back together as one nation under God. And it's probably not going to happen unless we begin to pray about it. But many of us, you know, we just don't have, I don't know if we don't want to take the time, have the time, or we even care. I mean, sometimes, do we even care? I mean, you know, we should care. I mean, our nation is probably, well, I know it's more divided, you know, since I've been alive. I mean, that's 50 years, so that's kind of a long time, actually, now. As you get old. And, you know, like I told the students today, I said, you know, the first 20 years, it takes a little bit. Second 20 years goes, you know, like a lot faster. The third 20 years, it's even quicker than that. So before you know it, you're 120 years old. But, I mean, since I've been alive, I've never seen our nation so divided. Everything, and I believe the media has a lot to do with it. I believe social media has a lot to do with it, you know. But, you know, I think we need to get back. I mean, you know, I do honor things that happened in 9/11. I mean, I honor those firefighters and policemen that ran up into that building. As it's on fire and all those kind of things, you know, and gave their lives. You know, but I want us to be like, I mean, I, you know, I don't want us to be mournful like we were on 9/12, but I want us to be spiritual like we were on 9/12. I mean, people came together, and how many remember that? It was like, you know, people were running to God. People wanted God. I mean, you know, they wanted something real. I mean, you know, and I know a lot of them, you know, for lack of a better term, maybe I scared the hell out of them. You know, but, you know, sometimes that might be a good thing. You know, but I don't want to have another tragedy in order to have that. But, you know, also, too, I think because of that, we've kind of even got now one tragedy after another, we've kind of got immune to it. It's not as big a deal anymore. Oh, yeah, a couple people died there, you know, too bad. you know, and thus for your family, then it's a big tragedy. But you know, we've actually got used to terrorist attacks. We've, you know, and we haven't had one obviously in the scale that happened 9/11. But I mean, well, just I guess a little over a year ago in Las Vegas. I mean, that was a pretty bad one. And you know, do you realize that so far no one's ever figured out why that happened? I can tell you why. John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I wasn't planning on using John 10:10 today, but you know, that's what the devil is trying to do. He doesn't want us to be one nation under God anymore. He wants us to be divided. I mean, not just divided among Americans. He wants to be divided among Christians. I mean, you realize us Christian groups can't even get together. We can't even have a prayer meeting together or something. I'm not saying us like we here at Raymond. I'm just saying there are some groups that, well, I don't want to pray with them because they're Baptists. I don't want to pray with them because they're Methodists. I don't care if you want to pray. Let's all pray. I don't care what you are. And the thing about it, you know, why should you have a label anyway? Isn't really the label that you're a Christian? I mean, you know, we can come together in fellowship as Christians. Now, we might have some different views on Christianity, but the Protestant religions believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he's our Lord and Savior. As long as we believe that, that's okay. Let's pray together. And I really believe, I don't want to have another 9/11 type tragedy before this nation comes back together again. But you know, and if in the natural you think, I mean, how could it ever happen? You know, but here's the thing: prayer can change a lot of things. You know, and some of you have been around here a long time might remember whenever we began to pray for Eastern Europe back in the late 80s. We prayed for Eastern Europe under the direction of my grandfather. You know, he said to pray for Eastern Europe, but we prayed for the Iron Curtain to fall. And whenever, actually, there were some people actually told my grandfather, that's not going to happen. And if it is going to happen, it's not going to happen in our lifetime. You know, but it did. It did. And I believe that us coming together and praying about it is one of the big reasons it did. I mean, you know, and what's miraculous now is, you know, or awesome now is whenever you go over, like you know, we've gone over to Raymond, Albania a few times and you learn about what their life was like under communism and how strict it was and how, you know, I mean, how they would put people to death, but even basically even mention the word Jesus Christ. Actually, to have any kind of religious thing, I mean, you know, they put you to death. You know, and now we actually have a Bible school right there, you know, in the same place. And, you know, just awesome to see what God is doing. You know, and it's, you know, and you think about that. You said, you know, we prayed for those people. We prayed for those people. And now we're seeing the result of what we prayed for. And so sometimes I know that a lot of Christians have said, well, I don't see how we can come back together. But see, it's not about what we can see. It's about what God can see. And like I said, the devil is trying to stop us from coming together because if we do, you know, that's when we're going to have a revival. You know, but it's going to take us to decide, you know what? We need to get serious about this. You know, and I just, it's just amazing how many people, you know, maybe they were serious for a few weeks, few months, maybe even a few years, but then they're no longer in the church anymore. Now, probably if there's another tragedy happened that affects them, they might be back in church. But we shouldn't have to have a tragedy to come to God. You know, and maybe a tragedy is not something that happens to everyone, it's something that happens to your family. You know, but it shouldn't take that. It should take us just hungering and thirsting after the things of God. Another thing I believe that has changed after 9/11, and this is Romans 8:14, says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God.
And I believe that now we live in a generation where we really have to be led by the Spirit of God everywhere we go. Everywhere we walk. You know, like never before. Because, I mean, you know, obviously just a few short weeks ago, people walked into a Walmart and didn't walk out. Now you realize, I mean, some of you who know me, follow me on Facebook or whatever, know that I'm probably a Walmartologist. I go to Walmart probably more than most people do. I go to Walmart a lot. Number one, because they're cheap. Cheaper. I don't mind going to Research, but I found that the prices are cheaper at Walmart. So I know some people say, well, you go to Aldi's even cheaper, but then I got to carry my own bags and do all that kind of stuff. And you know, so yeah, but you're saving the environment. Well, okay. I look kind of like name brand stuff. I mean, I want to know it's Kellogg's. I mean, you know, I want Fruit Loops. I don't want fruity things, fruity circles. No, actually, unlike my wife, I'm the one who will try the fruity circles. And if it tastes good enough, I mean, it's okay. I don't even like Fruit Loops anyway, so it doesn't matter. So, but, you know, has anyone been to Aldi's? Anyone, you know, no, it's not name brand stuff or whatever. And if you shop there, praise God, I'm happy for you. You keep shopping there. You bring your bags or whatever. If you don't bring your bags, then you're like me carrying all this stuff without bags, because I'm not going to buy your bags for 10 cents. I'm too cheap. So anyway, that has nothing to do with being led by the Spirit of God. Well, I guess, you know. But you know what? We had to be led. You know, it's interesting. After 9/11 came out, we heard stories. I heard a story about one young man who was on his way to work at the World Trade Center. And for some reason, he had a check on the inside saying, you need to stop for coffee. Breakfast, something like that. And he stopped and was just kind of, and he was like, man, I stopped and I kind of was like just goofing around, like taking extra time. I'm thinking, I'm going to be late for work. They're going to be mad at me and all that kind of stuff, you know. But when he pulled up, the building was falling down. And he wasn't there. You know, and I believe we live in a day and age where we got to listen to the inside. Because how many times have we had a leading of the Spirit, or we've had a leading, or you know, we've had a thought, and we've overridden that? You know, so, well, maybe I had too much pizza last night or whatever, and I had a weird dream, you know, and, you know, that wasn't that. You know, but my thought is, you know, if I have a feeling, I'm just going to go by my feeling. You know, if I miss it, I miss it. Who cares? You know, but if I'm not there, I'm like, I can't blow up. You know, I've often said that if I feel like I shouldn't get on an airplane, I'm not getting on an airplane. I don't care if I miss a meeting. I don't care if I have to take 20 or 30 extra hours in airports to make it somewhere. I'm not getting on the airplane. Because, you know, I got to be led by my Spirit. In fact, just to kind of tell you, well, I don't know if it's funny or serious or what it was, but there was one night we were in, we were doing a meeting in the Phoenix area, actually it was Tempe, Arizona, with my grandfather. We were having a crusade, and the way it was, after we finished on a Friday night, we were going to head back home, and we were flying our own plane, and I don't know, I just had to check all day long, and the weather wasn't really good or whatever, and so normally we had to pack our stuff before church, you know, so after church we're ready to go, so I didn't pack my stuff. I called mom and dad, said, I ain't coming home tonight, and so, you know, said, I don't care what Brother Hagin does, I ain't coming home. So I even told my grandparents, and I don't mean to call my grandparents Brother Hagin, I'm just doing that so you know who I'm talking about. I call him Papa, but you know. So I got in the car that night on the way. I said, I talked to the pilot. They're still flying home, but I'm not flying, you know, because I have a check about it. And my grandpa said, well, good for you. And he was, I said, well, so you're going to fly? He goes, yep. So, but you know, it's not about his check, it's about my check. If he dies on the airplane, it's, you know, not my fault. So,
So, I mean, he can fly, you know what? But what happened later on was as the pilots monitored the weather, once the service got over, they decided that nobody was flying when we all flew the next day. But my point is, I wasn't going to go off of his spirit. It's not as many are led by somebody else's spirit. As many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, and you can say daughters of God. You're going to be led by your own spirit. Not by your pastor's spirit, not by, you know, your spiritual mentor's spirit, not by your dad's spirit, your mom's spirit, your kid's spirit. By what you feel on the inside. And I didn't care whether he got on the airplane. I didn't care whether he got on the airplane and made it back and it was safe and everything else. It didn't matter. I had a check and I'm not getting on. Because for me to get on was to override what was on the inside of me. And how many times have we overridden what was on the inside of us? You know, and maybe overriding it didn't get you killed, but it could. I mean, you know, I'm sure there are probably stories about people that were headed to Walmart in El Paso, Texas. And for whatever reason, didn't go to Walmart or they weren't in that area or whatever. Who knows? But I'm telling you, you know, it's serious. We live in a serious world. I know when mom and dad, when they were over there in Israel, they were like 2 miles from a terrorist attack. And I'm freaking out because, you know, I'm thinking, you know, they were at the hotel, so it wasn't no big deal, you know, but it was like a place where a lot of restaurants and places were, probably a place that I would probably be if I was there. Of course, I wouldn't be there because I would have a check in my spirit, so I wouldn't be there. But you know, I text them, and you know, because they didn't know anything about it because, you know, I had a news report immediately that there was a terrorist attack. Actually, someone else texted me and said, "Where exactly are your parents, you know, in Israel?" And I'm like, "I don't know. Let me look it up at this hotel, whatever." And then I looked it up on where it happened. I'm looking at myself. That's like 2 miles away. So you know, if you're at a hotel and going to go to a restaurant, you know, 2 miles away wouldn't be abnormal to go to a restaurant. So I got a hold of the parents, and they were eating, and no big deal, and it was no problem. I mean, they weren't thinking about going to that area anyway. But still, we got to be led. We got to be led every day. Every day we got to be led. And, you know, that was before 9/11, but especially after 9/11, but especially, you know, we live in a day and an age of terrorist attacks. I mean, it's a commonplace thing. I believe the first time that I was ever thought about terrorist attacks was when the Oklahoma City bombing happened. I don't know how many of you remember that. You know, and growing up in Oklahoma, you're thinking, okay, you know, in my lifetime, there have been a number of attempts or number of plots to blow up the World Trade Center. So, you know, people, I mean, they were surprised about how they did it, but they weren't surprised that they were people trying to attempt to do that. You know, so you think things happen in L.A., New York, Chicago, you know, that's going to happen. But who's going to blow up a building in Oklahoma City? I mean, you know, that was my thought at that point in time. I mean, you know, and I don't know if some of you remember that. I remember exactly where I was, same place I was in 9/11, in front of my TV set at home, packing. I traveled a lot during that time, so it's like, you know, I was packing my suitcase, going somewhere, you know, same TV, because I actually, same exact TV from 95 to 2001, same TV. Too cheap to buy another one. So I bought some since then, but same TV, same place, same room, same everything. And they said they thought it was originally they thought it was a gas leak or something like that. But I mean, you know, that hit close to home. Once again, heard many stories. I mean, but the most tragic story I heard was about a gentleman. See, one of the offices there at the federal building was Social Security office, and there was a gentleman that was there, and something had messed up with Social Security, and he wasn't getting his check. And that morning, he told his wife that he didn't want to go, but he really needs to. And he said two or three times, he said, "I just don't want to go. I just don't feel like I need to go." But not only did he went and brought his little grandson with him, and they both perished. And like I said, he told his wife multiple times that he didn't want to go. But then I heard another story about another man, same thing, headed to Social Security office, and he didn't go. And he made it. Man, it's so important to be led by the Spirit of God. It's so important to you know, because I believe that the Spirit of God will lead us. Well, I don't believe it. It's in the Bible. He'll lead us. He'll guide us at all times. You know, and sometimes, you know, something else too is sometimes we don't even pray about stuff. How many times have you gotten in the car to go head somewhere? Don't even pray about it. Don't even pray for protection. Don't even pray about anything. I mean, you know, why not pray? I mean, you're a Christian, right? Believe in God. I mean, why wouldn't we want to ask God for protection? Why wouldn't we want to pray? You know, I'll tell you a story on myself. Or I don't know if it's me or my dad or whatever it is. Is that my dad and I, for many years, used to ride motorcycles, dirt bikes. Later on, we changed to ATVs or whatever. And every time, but before we would go out riding, we'd always pray. Except for one time. I broke my leg that one time. So guess what? After that, there's never been one other time that I didn't pray before we went out. And because the one time we didn't pray, I broke my leg. You know, I didn't have a check about it, though. But it's... So the moral of the story is pray. Believe God. Now, of course, Mom has taught us to claim the 91st Psalm. And that's something that my mom taught us at a young age. And you know, my sister and I both... Multiple times we claim the 91st Psalm over all of us. If you don't know what it is, read the 91st Psalm. It's a good scripture. It's about protection, about people dying on your right and your left, and nothing coming near you. And I think about those kind of scriptures, you know, during times like 9/11. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. You know what? Tragedy might be all around you, but God can keep you safe. I was reading a story about a lady today that was on the 98th floor. She's still alive today. She was on the building where the first plane hit. She was on 98th floor, and she got out. Still alive today. I believe it, God was with her, leading her out of that building. I mean, just think about going down 98 flights of steps. I mean, you know, and of course, you know, like each, I mean, that's a lot of steps. I mean, you think you walk a lot of steps, and when you're watching your thing on your watch or whatever, think about 98 flights. And I'm sure she wasn't just walking. I'm sure she was booking as fast as she could, you know, because you got fire going, and she said there was water leaks and all kinds of stuff. You know what? But she's alive today. And I believe God protected her. I mean, you know, that's way up there. Now, I don't know, how many have actually been to the World Trade Center? You know, anyone? I mean, I had the privilege of my grandfather buying me a steak there up there one time. We went to the World Trade Center, and they had a restaurant up there. And so we went up there to eat, and so pretty nice view. Now, some of you may or may not know, it's in the paper today, that downtown, the building, the Bank of Oklahoma building is actually patterned after the World Trade Center. It's actually like a half-scale building of the one of the towers, and so it's kind of a significant thing. And so a lot of people were down there today remembering 9/11. And you know, and I don't think we should ever forget about what went on, but I don't think we should ever forget about 9/12. Because I think a lot of people, I think people have forgot about God in the last 18 years. Since it happened, and you know, and like I said, some people say, well, I don't know how to get back. How do we should get it back? Well, the only way to get it back is for us to hit our knees, begin to pray for this nation. You know, because, you know, we talk about we're one nation under God, but are we? I mean, it doesn't seem like that right now. It seems like if you serve God, people, I mean, you know, they're criticizing you for it. I read today where someone was criticizing our governor, Governor Stitt, who's a great man. His dad's a preacher. They were criticizing and saying that he spends too much time on his knees. He spends more time governing. I'm thinking, no, he spends more time on his knees. They were griping about, you know, that he's put God first. So, you know, I mean, we should have leaders that put God first. But the only way to have that is elect them. You know, and that's something else. I mean, you know, we need more godly people to run and to be involved in politics. And I realize politics can be ugly and things like that. But you know what? The only way to have godly people is to actually have godly people that actually get involved. You know, because we can only elect who's put in front of us. And sometimes we have elections where you're just picking the best one. It's like a multiple choice. Like, well, I don't really want that one. I don't want that one. But that one's better than this one, so I guess I better pick this one. You know, but wouldn't it be nice to know for sure this is the best choice? There is no doubt about it. You know, and just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're the best choice either. That's something else. I mean, not only you need to be a Christian, you need to know something about politics or something about change. I mean, our governor, he didn't know a whole lot about politics, but he knew how to run a company. He proved he can run a company, so I can run a company. I'm sure I can run a state. You know, but the one thing he does is he prays for God, prays to God for direction. And so he's a great man, doing great things, and we need to continue to pray for our governor, pray for our president, pray for our Congress people, even the ones that are kind of have some kind of crazy ideas. Pray for these people. You know, and I don't care, you know, who wins, who doesn't. It doesn't matter, Democrat, whoever wins, pray for these people. That's what we need to pray. We got to pray for our leaders. You know, because, you know, and sometimes people will do so. I don't even know why I did it, but I did it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you don't know why. We all know why, because people were praying. People were praying. And I don't know, I just... You know, like I said, I don't know if it's a real sermon or whatever, but today I was thinking back to September the 12th. I'm thinking back and when we were right here in this church. I'm thinking back at all the people who came to church. And how many of you were here in this church September 12th and you remember that? You remember the people who were flocking this place. And churches all over America, not just here, but all over America, coming to God. You know, and I realize some people were afraid. Some people didn't know how to feel. They didn't, you know, they were stunned. They were shocked. They were, you know, and praise God, at least they knew to come to church. And I thank God, you know, and that's one thing too, you know, a lot of people, they were raised in church. And when things happen, they don't know what to do. They show up back up in church. You know, and that's good. But, you know, how much better if they just stayed in church? You know, and... But sometimes it takes tragedies. But man, I want us to get back. I want this nation to be one nation under God. I indivisible. I want to see us to be together again. And I realize we'll always have different political parties, and we'll all agree to disagree or whatever. But we should be able to come together and make laws. To make fair laws that we can, you know, it's called compromise. You know, but the world, we don't want to have compromise. It's, you know, we're like Burger King. We want to have it our way. Somebody remember the commercial of Burger King, you have it your way or whatever. You know, what's the funny part about it, you can have it your way at McDonald's or wherever else you go too. Burger King just, you know, they targeted the slogan, have it your way at Burger King. Well, McDonald's, they were busy being a clown. You know, they were marketing their clown, which they don't even market the clown anymore. I don't even realize. I think the reason is because you realize that a lot of Americans are afraid of clowns. So if you want to know why Ronald McDonald doesn't exist anymore, that's probably one reason. So see, you learned something at church today, all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person that's here. And Father God, we just thank you to help us understand the importance of prayer. Help us understand, you know what, if we want to change this nation, we have to get on our knees. We have to be able to pray for this nation. Help us understand we should pray for our governors, our senators, our congressmen, the president, and the cabinet members, Father. Father, help us to be more mindful of the things of God. Father, we thank you also to help us to be led by the Spirit of God. Each and every place that we go, wherever we go throughout the day, that you're leading and guiding and showing us the way, Father. And Father God, we just thank you for each and every person that's here. We thank you, Father, that you'll just be there with us like never before. We thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, praise God. The way we do things on Wednesday nights, if you need prayer for anything, whether it be salvation, rededication, infilling of the Holy Spirit, for healing, for whatever it might be. We have men and women up here to pray for you. Like we always say, if you're a man, please go see the men. If you're a woman, please go see the woman. If you don't know what you are, we have ushers there to help you determine what you are, and they'll lead you to the right place. Amen. Let's all stand up. Amen. If you're a first-time visitor, we're so glad to have you today. Sunday morning, Pastor Hagin will be back with us Sunday morning. He'll be here ministering, and you know he probably won't be. He'll be more reverent than I am a little bit. We're glad to have you for a first-time visitor. We have a little gift for you. The connection team is going to take you to a special place, and they have a gift for you. We want to make sure that that you get that gift, and we want to say anytime you're in this area, you know, please make this your home away from home. If you're looking for a good church home, we want to say welcome home. Amen. Praise God. Well, turn around, shake hands with two or three people, and you're dismissed. We'll see you back here on Sunday.